You'll know by now what the text is because we've been thinking about it all month. It's Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, where we have these prophetic titles of the Saviour, Jesus Christ, in the prophecy of Isaiah. But unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we're coming to the last title tonight, and we're going to think of Christ, the Prince of Peace. Just before we do so, we'll bow together in a moment's prayer. Lord, once again we rejoice in the one who came out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe. We thank thee for the Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is able to save men from sin. We thank thee, Lord, as we come to think about these titles. They speak forth great truths that surround the very person and work of our dear Saviour. And as we come to this final one that is mentioned in our text, the Prince of Peace, we thank thee that Jesus Christ came to bestow real peace upon men, to give us peace in our hearts and peace with God and peace for eternity. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and abide with us now and speak through your holy word. Help us to see Jesus tonight in the message. Help us, Lord, to understand a little bit more about what he came to do. In the Saviour's name, we pray. Amen. I'm sure you'll agree with me tonight that we're living in a very turbulent world. We are surrounded by trouble, disturbance, anarchy, and violence. And we have to say that there's an absence of peace, an absence of calmness and tranquility in this sin-infested world. This past year of 2016 has been a year of much sorrow and trouble and sadness right throughout the world. And not least in all the terrorist attacks that we've come to know about and hear about on the media. Just to run through some of the things that happened last year. On the 1st of January, 300 West African migrants were reportedly rounded up by ISIS and they were executed in Syria. On the 8th of February, Islamic State executed over 300 police and army personnel, as well as civilian activists. On the 27th of March, at least 72 people were killed, including 29 children, and over 200 other people were injured in a suicide bombing that hit the main entrance of one of the largest parks in Lahore, Pakistan. The 21st of April, at least 250 Iraqi women were executed by Islamic State fighters in Mosul, Iraq, because they refused to become sex slaves. On the 23rd of May, nearly 150 people were killed and at least 200 wounded in a series of car bombings and suicide attacks in the Syrian cities of Jable and Tartus. Islamic State of Iraq and Levant claimed responsibility. On the 5th of June, 400 soldiers were found dead in Iraq, many with gun wounds. The soldiers were likely executed on an unknown date. They belonged to the Army's 10th Brigade. On the 3rd of July, at least 346 people were killed and over 246 injured in a series of coordinated bomb attacks in Baghdad, Iraq. On the 6th of August, again in Iraq, 100 people were killed and hundreds kidnapped and held hostage after a massacre carried out by Islamic State. ISIS also kidnapped over 3,000 more people and executed others. On the 5th of September, car bombings throughout Syria killed over 70 people. On the 31st of October in Mosul, Iraq, Islamic State executed over 350 civilians for collaborating with the security forces. On the 8th of November, again in Mosul, Iraq, Islamic State killed at least 300 civilians in retaliation against individuals that refused to fight for ISIS. On the 8th of November, or the 18th of December, at least 52 soldiers collecting their salaries at a base in northeast Aden, Yemen, were killed when a suicide bomber detonated. Now, these statistics that I've just given to you are but a small fraction of the awful terrorist atrocities that took place over the course of the past 12 months. Thousands upon thousands have been killed throughout the world. And then we have natural disasters which disturb the peace and the communities and the countries of our world. There were actually 13,792 recorded earthquakes of various magnitudes in 2016, bringing a death toll of 1,268. There have been devastating floods, wildfires, cyclones, hurricanes, landslides and heat waves, which have brought about shocking deaths and injuries. And what about rampant disease throughout the world, ravaging families and communities? You know, there's an estimated 12.6 million deaths every year that are attributed to an unhealthy environment and disease throughout the world. I have all the statistics here, but I'll not go into them tonight. I'm sure you will agree with the statement of the Saviour when he walked upon this earth and he said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." Because this world is a place of sorrow. This world is a valley of tears. And this tribulation threatens to disturb our peace. As we look back over the 12 months of the year, each one of us can mark those moments, those days, those weeks, and even for some, those months, which brought great turbulence. Turbulence overtook us, and we were plunged into sorrow and heartbreak. Personal trouble, family trouble, church trouble, community trouble, employment trouble, school trouble, political trouble, you name it. Such things have beset us, and they have upset us immensely, and they have brought great disturbance to our peace. So what is the answer? What is the answer in such times? Where can we run to? How can we find rest in the midst of trouble, in the midst of the storms of life? Undoubtedly, it is in the one who is here called by the prophet Isaiah, the Prince of Peace. The disciples on many occasions found themselves in the midst of the storm, there in the waters of Galilee. But we think of the one that was with them in the storm, and the one that stood up on a number of occasions to command the winds and the waves and to say, "Peace be still." And the Bible tells us how that there was a great calm when the Saviour spoke. What a picture this is of your life and mine. As we cross the seas of this life, we think of the storms that rise about us. We think of the winds and the waves that surround us. And yet we think of the one who is the Prince of Peace, who is with us, and the one who is still able to calm the storm and still able to say, "Peace be still." The term Prince of Peace is a Hebrew mode of expression denoting that Christ would be a peaceful prince. He would seek to promote peace in the earth. This expression is used to distinguish him from the masses of kings and princes who have been warriors and conquerors, who have delighted themselves in conquest and war and blood. But the Saviour would be different in his coming into the world and his purpose in this world. In fact, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4, it speaks about a time when the Lord will judge among the nations. He will rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. It's speaking about the days of the Messiah, speaking about special times when there'll be no more war, and things will be peaceful and things will be restful in this earth. What a day that's going to be. And we could confer with many other prophecies that speak about such times, like in Micah chapter 5 and verse 4, Hosea chapter 2 and verse 18. When Christ was born in Bethlehem, the sky was alive with an anthem of praise as the angels, and I'm a little bit hesitant in using the word sang, because we never do read that they actually sang, but maybe they did. They either sang or they chanted, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Just before the Savior went to the cross to lay down his life in that sacrificial offering for sin, he gathered his trusted disciples around him. And he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In the days of his resurrection, before his ascension into glory, we find him standing in the midst of the disciples, and the message is still the same. And Jesus says, "Peace be unto you." And in this closing message, and this final Lord's Day, this final gospel service, in fact, of the year, I want you to think about the Prince of Peace. I want you to think about this aspect of the Lord's coming into the world and what he came to do and what he can do for you tonight in this meeting. The one who is the Prince of Peace. First of all, you need peace with God. The Bible speaks about having peace with God. And this is the most important peace that you need. This is where it starts. We are at enmity with God. Sin has disrupted the peace enjoyed by Adam and what peace he had in those days of innocency. Adam, once engaged in sweet communion with God, had fellowship with God. But then sin came into the world and completely shattered that peace that he had. How peaceful was the scene when the first Sabbath shone upon the world, that day of rest that the Scripture speaks about. How reversed was the scene when sin entered and destroyed that peace, and consequently, you and I, born from Adam's race, we are born as enemies of God, separated from God because of our sin, strangers to his grace. We have no peace when it comes to our relationship with God. But praise God, the Prince of Peace, he came. And he came to restore that peace. He came to reconcile us to God. He came to deal with our sin that separated us from God. And it's only in him and through his redemption that we can have peace in our hearts. That's what the Scripture teaches. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." When you are justified in the sight of God and justified by faith and faith alone, the Bible says that you have peace with God. He reminded the Ephesians in Ephesians 2 and verse 14, "For he," that is Christ, "is our peace." He spoke of how Christ abolished in his flesh the enmity. And he went on to say, "Therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." He wrote to the Colossians and he told them how Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. He set before them the great truths, the same great truths, how that they were once alienated and enemies, but how that God himself had reconciled them through Christ. And I ask you tonight, do you know these things? Do you understand these things in your heart? Some of you need to be reconciled. You need to have peace through the blood of the cross. And I would plead with you on this final Lord's Day of the year to turn to the Savior, to come to the cross, and to receive Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, and know the peace of God in your heart. That's the first peace that you need. And then there is peace with our fellow man. Having obtained this peace with God, forgiveness of sins, reconciliation, Christ then imparts peace in every other situation of life, including our relationships with one another. We are to live peaceably with all men, as far as it lies within us, the Scripture tells us. We are to enjoy the fruits of righteousness, which includes peace. We are to know God's peace, which passes all understanding. The troubles of this world that we encounter threaten to shake our peace. And Satan wants to steal our peace. One way he seeks to do this is in our relationships with others. Now, that might be in the family. It might be in church life. It might be in the community. It might be among our friends. The devil seeks to put enmity between us and them. And it's very sad when that happens. And I think we've all been there. It's sad when it happens in our homes. It's sad when it happens in our churches, in our communities. It's sad when it happens among our friends. And we've all experienced this one way or another. And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we just want to run away. Isn't that right? We want to fly away. Now, that happened to David, you know. It happened to David in the Old Testament in a time of great trouble in his life, when he had problems in the family. And the problem that he had particularly was with Absalom, his own son, that rebelled against him. What an awful situation David finds himself in. And then the whole story of Ahithophel, who was at one time his trusted advisor. And David wrote many of the Psalms in the background of what he was experiencing in his own family with the rebellion of his son Absalom. One of the Psalms that he wrote was the Psalm 55. And he expresses a desire in this Psalm in verse 6 when he said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." You ever feel like that? Just like to fly away somewhere. I wish I had wings and I could go somewhere else and I could just be at rest. The story is told of a husband and wife who were having some little difficulties, but they were Christian people and they knew to pray. And so the man, in his prayer, he quoted this psalm and he quoted this verse. "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I might fly away and be at rest." And his wife then prayed, and she prayed, "Lord, feather him and let him go." So we're not suggesting you do that. But you know, sometimes that's how we feel. We want to fly away. But the Lord wants us to enjoy peace with one another as far as it is possible. And we are to strive after it. We are to know it. We are to experience it. Why? Because Christ is the Prince of Peace. Peace with God. Peace with our fellow man. And then just widening that out a little bit. There is peace in the midst of the storms. We have spoken about this already. Life is like a sea voyage. We're crossing the seas of this life. And sometimes it's calm and all's well. And then other times the storm erupts. And around us are the winds and the waves. And they seem to threaten us so much. And we have spoken about the various situations that bring alarm and bring disturbance. And it's so easy in the midst of those times to get our eyes of the Lord and to get our eyes on the circumstances of life. However, we must be focused. And where must our focus be? Christ, the Prince of peace, looking on to Jesus, knowing his comfort, knowing his presence in the midst of the storm. There was a difficult time in the life of Moses, way back in the history of the book of Exodus. In fact, it was one of the most difficult times for the leader of Israel to face. And in Exodus 32, it speaks about how Israel had corrupted themselves in worship, and had gone after the molten calf. And now was a time to journey on and to press on with the Lord. And Moses was very anxious that he would know the Lord with him and the presence of God with him. And he felt in his heart, I can't go forward unless I have that comfort. I have that peace in my heart, knowing that the Lord is there. And you remember how he prayed in Exodus chapter 32, Lord, show me thy glory. I want to see your glory. I want to see the Lord. And the Lord said in verse 14, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. It's when the presence of the Lord goes with us and we sense the presence of God that we know this rest, this peace of which the Bible speaks. We need to know that the Lord is not sleeping. When the disciples were on the ship, and the Bible speaks about the Lord being asleep in the hinder part of the ship, that was certainly so physically as far as the Lord was concerned, but in a very real sense, he was not asleep as God. He knew exactly the circumstances. He knew exactly what they were passing through, and he was not sleeping in that sense. And when he was wakened from his physical sleep, he stood up and he brought a great calm to the waters around about him and around about the disciples, and he can still bring a great calm no matter what. No matter what your storm is tonight, I point you to the Prince of Peace, one of these great titles given to the Lord by Isaiah. And then finally, there is peace when we come to die. And we're going to come to die. Nothing surer in life. And I think every family here has been touched by the hand of death. And you know what it is. And some of you have known what it is to lose your loved one in the past year. And maybe this Christmas time, in a real sense, has been very sad for you. Your loved ones are not there. They were there last year, not there this year. But you and I personally are going to die one day. We're going to close our eyes in death. And time for us will be no more. Even in such a time, Satan would attempt to take away our peace. Do you know that? Especially when we have a sense of the fact that we're going to die. Maybe some disease, some weakness, some accident, something of this nature has overtaken us. And we know in a very short time we're going to leave this life. Might be hours, it might be days, it might be just a matter of a few weeks. In such a time, the devil would seek to take away our peace in the hour of death for the child of God. But I want you to remember this. Jesus Christ has not changed. He is still the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace who saved us, the Prince of Peace who has kept us, the Prince of Peace who has brought us through all the circumstances of life, all the storms of life, he will be there. He will be there right until the end, and he will impart his matchless peace to our hearts when we come to die. That's why David was able to say in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. I trust that this Christmas time you'll know it, you'll sense it, you'll prove it. If you're in a storm tonight, that he will say, peace be still, and bring a calmness to your heart and bring you through the storm. If you're not saved tonight, you're abiding under the wrath of God, you need the first peace. You don't have peace. In your sin, you don't have peace. The wicked are like the troubled sea. There's no peace for the ungodly. But Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace that can bring peace to your soul. Peace through the blood
of the cross. You need to have your sins forgiven.
So there's a message here for everyone. We all need this peace that the Prince of Peace gives. May it be ours tonight. And if you know not the Saviour, may you turn to Him and seek Him now as your Saviour.